Dr. Sandy Block received her degree in 1981 from the Illinois College of Optometry, where she's been faculty since 1982. She's also a consultant to the Special Olympics since 1995 and is the medical director for the Illinois Eye Institute Clinic at the Princeton School in Chicago. Dr. Block is a fellow of the American Academy of Optometry and has achieved her diplomat in public health, as well as a fellow in the College of Optometrists and Visual Development. And if anyone is ever in Chicago and has a chance to visit the school clinic that Sandy runs, I really highly encourage it. It is so impressive what they're able to do there, and it's just amazing stuff going on. So I will now present to you Sandy Block.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. It's very hard to follow Kathy because, she has this wonderful statistics on this wonderful survey. What I'm going to present today is really not a validated survey. It's more of a survey to look at how the children would respond. And we would ideally like to have validated the survey, but the grantors needed something done in a very timely manner, so we didn't have an opportunity to do that. But I've changed the title a little bit, because there was only so much space when you sent your abstract in, and it kind of clarifies it a little bit. Results of the survey investigating knowledge of vision problems and recommended frequency of care. This is a survey that we administered to the children prior to the beginning of an exam. So these are my co-authors, Melissa Succo, Kathleen O'Leary, and Valerie Conrad. And it was truly a team effort, and I have no disclosures. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about the clinic. I'd be happy to talk about it for hours and hours if anybody has an interest. But the clinic is really a school-based vision clinic that is located in Englewood in the city of Chicago. It resulted from a partnership with the Illinois College of Optometry and the Chicago Public School System. We opened in January of 2011 in what they had referred to as a decommissioned school. I'm sure you've all been watching the news and realize we have another 50 or so decommissioned schools in the city of Chicago. Anybody needs a building, we got lots of them. And our clinic is basically open to any child within the Chicago city limits. Anybody can walk in my door and be served without any question. Our children that we see come by a number of ways. We do it by appointment. We have walk-ins available between 8:30 and 9:30 every morning. Or buses bring children from individual schools. Schools set up a day where they are bringing up to 45 children, and by 9 o'clock the kids walk off the bus and we start to see them. Currently, we've seen, since we opened in 2011, over 16,000 children for primary eye care. We do offer some secondary level of services now, and I actually don't have the numbers included in the 16,000, but it's really been interesting to see the need in this population. The children that we see come from various resources. They may be referred from their teachers. They may have failed vision screenings. They may be identified as children new to the district. The state of Illinois has a requirement that anybody entering school for the first time is required to have an eye exam. The city of Chicago's compliance was 9%, and I think we're up to 12% this year of children entering the school system for the first time. It's a little bit challenging to be able to increase those numbers because there's no punitive damages. So the problem really is that children who are covered by the state's insurance, which is Medicaid or all kids, every child within the state of Illinois is entitled to vision care services under the All Kids program. But you have to sign up for it. And in some cases, there is a copay. So 80% of the children that walk in our door are really covered under Medicaid or All Kids. And the challenge with that program is that it takes up to 3 months for a child to get their glasses from the time we send it into the state for approval. Glasses are made in our prison system currently. And it's not the prisoners that are a problem, it's the state workers that are our problem. Lions Clubs International Foundation came up with an opportunity for us to address that big gap in time. They offered us to be one of their pilots with the new Lions lens. Essilor and Lions came together and created a lens that they charge $1 for. There were four pilots within the United States, and we were the only one that was focused entirely on children. So what that meant was we received 10,000 lenses in our clinic last August with a limited range of powers. And those were to be used for kids who were fell under the Medicaid insurance program. The goal was to be able to deliver the glasses in a much more timely manner. We had a board member donate beautiful frames from the company he was on the board for. And Nova Labs, which is an Essilor lab, cut lenses for us for $6 a pair, which is an unbelievably inexpensive amount of money, and delivered them within a week of receipt from when we sent it to them. The challenge was they are in New Jersey and we are in Chicago. So our goal was really to try to get these glasses delivered within 3 weeks. The only requirement to getting these glasses was that they were on the Medicaid program. LCIF, however, required us to kind of get a sense of whether the intervention was positive. We got the lenses in August, and we had to use them immediately. We had already been a couple of months late because the IRB for the city of Chicago took a little longer than we would have liked. Any process within Chicago always takes at least three times as long as you would expect it to. It's a very large bureaucracy. So what we did is we were told that Georgia program, the Georgia Alliance, had created a survey that was identifying some issues for the people that they were serving in Georgia, and they asked us to use this as a template for our clinic, so there were some similarities between their pilot projects. It is not a validated survey, but they gave us an opportunity to modify it a little bit so that we can at least address some of the issues. As you'll see, there are very few questions. It's a two-sided piece of paper. The things that we asked were things we felt children could respond to. We wanted to find out, do they have glasses? We wanted to find out, had they had an exam? We asked them what their complaints were. We asked them if they thought they might do better in school after they were at the clinic. We asked them if they'd do better in sports. And we asked them how often they thought they should have an eye exam. So these were not kinds of things that you necessarily needed a validated survey, because we wanted to find out what the children's impressions were. And the last piece we asked them was, how did they get to our clinic? So the process was very simple. Children that were appointments or walk-ins came into our registration room. Parents were given consent forms and case history forms to complete. And while the parent did that, the child was given this survey and asked to complete it. So we sat him down in a chair. Our clinic is set up in kindergarten. It was a kindergarten center, so it's a classroom. They sat at a chair. They were given a pencil or pen and the survey. If they were unable to read, we read it to them. If they were younger or special needs, there were times when we were unable to respond because the kids that we saw ranged in age from 7 months to just under 22. So there definitely are some children that we did not get any responses from. If they came on a bus, the consent forms and the case history forms were delivered to us at least a week ahead of time, or at least that's what we hope for. That doesn't always work as well as you'd like when you're asking parents to complete information. What the school called us was a field trip, so many of those pieces of paper had to be returned to the school system prior to the child actually getting on the bus. When the buses came in, we brought them in the room and we distributed the surveys for them to complete. We had a number of people who helped the children respond. I have an AmeriCorps member that works with us 9 months out of the year, and between her, my work studies, my other preceptors, we were able to get these surveys administered within about 10 minutes. Once they were completed, then the children went on to complete the exam, so that we found it very easy to go through the process of getting those surveys completed. Okay, so the data in the abstract that was submitted didn't include all the children. This pilot ran from October 1st through June 7th. The reason it ended June 7th was that was the end of the academic year for the Chicago Public School buses. We felt that was a good time to complete the survey. The children ranged from 7 months to 21 months, and they had 4,940 kids. So let's look at some of the questions. The first one was, do you currently wear glasses? Now, what's interesting is just because they wore glasses didn't necessarily mean they brought them with them. The reason we felt this was important is over the years that we've been open, we have realized that children notoriously had glasses, but they broke them or lost them almost immediately after they received them. We found that was really a bit disturbing, and the challenge is that how can we address that, and we've not figured that out, other than the fact that the kids who are on Medicaid, we're now getting two pair of glasses, the one from the Lions and the one from Medicaid, and they were being given to them at disparate times, so it was an opportunity to be able to fill that gap for at least a little while. We had 600 children that were unable to respond to this question. What's sad here is 37.7% of the children indicated they had never had an eye exam before, and this is in a state where we've had this mandatory eye exam law for about 4 years, and there are still a lot of children that are not accessing eye care services. You'll notice the next three lines, let me get my little arrow. How do I get the arrow? There we go. They are broken, almost 20%. They are lost, 14%, and they do not help. You'll see that 30% of the kids had glasses, but for some reason or another, they're gone. We've had kids tell us that they're wearing their mother's glasses, their friend's glasses. We've been told that glasses are, they broke them almost as soon as they got them. I'm sure you've all heard the same stories. And then the sad thing is, the last three are all about how the kids that did wear glasses, only 10% wore their glasses all the time, 3% wore them for distance viewing, and less than 1% reported wearing them for near viewing. Here's just a distribution, because I think a pie chart often tells you more information. No, never really is the predominant group of kids. Now, keep in mind that these children that we saw were referred to us because there were vision problems. So it is not a generalized population. Next piece is we asked them if they've ever had an eye exam before. So the first piece is almost 20% said they never had an eye exam. 21% said they had an eye exam within the last year. The challenge, as Kathy brought up, was there's often some confusion between screenings and exams. So that there's always that piece, no matter how, you know, when you administer the survey, you can't go into a lot of detail. You want them just to answer the questions. So that would be something that we'd probably want to look at a little bit more. We were pleased to see that 14% really had an exam within the last year to two. The sad part is that there are a number of people who should have had an exam that hadn't, those that are the no's and those that are two or more years. And, of course, there's always those individuals that don't remember, because when you're dealing with children, there's a lot of things, well, I don't really know, you know, it's not important to me. And by not having the parent there to ask the questions, we weren't able to identify that more. So here's the distribution of those individuals that actually could respond to the question. And it's pretty well distributed. 25% do not remember, about 23% said no, 24% said within the past year. So it's pretty well distributed, but we're not doing a very good job of really getting out there and providing the services. We know that in the city of Chicago, there are big gaps in providers offering care to children. People don't want to do Medicaid. They say, I'll see Medicaid patients for 2 hours a day once a month. There's really a gap in access to services. The next question asked kids about why they were there. What is the case history? What is the problems they're having? And you'll see that these are the options. They could check as many as they wanted. The first three were most likely refractive, blurred far and near, blurred near only, blurred distance only. The next three were more functional issues. Do they have intermittent blur while they're reading? Do they have double vision? Or are the words swimming around? And you'd be surprised how interesting the kids were. They're very astute responders. And as we asked more questions about it, because that's part of what we're going to do during the case history, I was really amazed at how good they were in responding. We found that 2,500 children actually only checked one symptom. And we sort of put the refractive ones together. 484 checked two of the symptoms, 211 checked three symptoms, and 53 said there is a problem with everything. Now, when I see that, that's always my challenge, that do I believe that? Is there truly a problem, or am I getting some children who are malingering? So keep in mind that that's always an issue. So these are the different checks. You'll see a majority of them are the top three, which are your refractive conditions. And I have to tell you that 75% of the children that come to our clinic do need some sort of refractive corrections. So that actually matches pretty well. There were also a lot of children that had some functional issues where there was the intermittent blur at near 700 kids, double vision, 243. We see lots of children with convergence insufficiency, especially at the junior high and the high school level, and words swimming around on their page, which also suggests maybe some CIs. And here is a pie graph of that. As you'll see, the biggest portion are these pieces, which are your refractive conditions, which goes along to what we found. The next question is a perception question, because sometimes perception is more important than what we say is reality. You know, do you think your grades are going to be better after you come to the clinic? Because if a child does, you may actually see that, even though the spectacle correction or our other interventions don't do anything. And what we found was 61% of the children really felt that this is the reason they came here, because they want to do better with their grades. The next question was interesting, because I wanted to find out if they felt that sports was going to do better, because many of the questions we ask really are focused on what happens at sitting at their desks, you know, whether the words are swimming around, whether they're having trouble when they're reading. And yet, still, 43% of the children reported that they felt the intervention might help with sports. That was especially an issue for our high school kids, because obviously we expect more myopia in that population. The challenge is, as a clinic, that we only can offer them glasses. We don't have sports goggles. We don't have contacts. But that was always our recommendation as a secondary level of care. And we're talking about expanding our program to include some sports goggles. This is the piece that we felt was really an important piece. We wanted to get a sense of what children felt was how often should they really get their eyes checked. Dental programs have done an absolutely spectacular job of ensuring that kids know that they're supposed to get a dental exam every year. So our choices were, how often do you think you should get your eyes checked? 6 months, annually, every 2 years, or every 5 years? So we've done an okay job. 43.9% of the children felt that they should be seen every year. The challenge is those 3.6 that say every 5 years, that's a little scary. And every 2 years, you know, there may be, the kids we're seeing are high-risk kids because they've been referred to us. 13% said every 2 years. And the reality is, for the kids we're seeing, that's probably as often as they are going to be seen at the most. And the last piece is, we wanted to find out how did they heard about our clinic. Now, three of them are reality, and one of them I actually made up and put it in because I wanted to see how they would respond to it. We had usual no responders. We had 59% that came with schools. We had 21% that were referred by schools. And the last one I threw in there is that they saw something on television about us or they heard it on the radio. Well, there was nothing. There was no media out there at the time that we were doing this, and we still got 66 kids who responded. So it's a pretty small percentage, so I was actually pretty happy that they chose the ones that I thought were the most appropriate and legitimate. So the conclusions are, we were really very impressed. Children are pretty good reporters of vision problems. I think that's a very positive thing. You can rely on children to answer your questions appropriately in many cases. There is a significant problem with ensuring children keep their glasses that have been prescribed for them without breaking or losing them. Major problem. If I could glue it on their face, maybe that would be a way. One of the things we've been talking about is keeping a pair at school. There are some programs that do that. I think it's a great idea for especially some kids. We had one parent tell their child not to wear the glasses because they were too thick. Not a good thing when parents are not supporting it. And then the last piece is the survey demonstrates that children truly are aware of the importance of vision corrections for school, but it appears as if we need to do a better job in teaching them about the importance of regular eye care. So limitations is this is not a validated survey. That's the first piece. The population is not a random sample and cannot be generalized to other groups. And we had a significant proportion of no responses due to children that were either very young or special needs patients, because our clinic is open to anybody within the Chicago Public School System, and we see a lot of kids that are nonverbal or low functioning. So thank you very much. This is my contact information. If you have any questions, I would love to hear from you.